Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Next Level. Really, really glad that you could be here for this time of training. We are training in receiving from the Father. And one of the ways that we do that we both receive from a Father who loves us and we express the heart of children back to Him is through this thing called worship. So we'd love it if you guys would stand up, and we want to teach you this new song that is all about the wonder of the God that we sing to and that we are in relationship with. So Mary, take us away.
No pen or quill, no scribe in perfect skill, with flawless words could capture all you are. No lofty thought, no sky.
So I want to read you guys a passage. It's from Psalm 33, if we can throw that up here. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of His mouth. So keep that verse in your mind, and I want to show you this picture that I stumbled across online. It's not of a kitten or something. This here is called the Pillars of Creation. It was taken by the Hubble telescope first about 25 years ago. So this is basically a cosmic storm that is 100 billion kilometers tall. And the gas and dust spinning at sort of those fingertips is moving at 700,000 kilometers per hour. It's insane. It's so big, and even though it's moving so fast, the pictures that we took 20, 25 years ago look almost identical. This is the God that we're singing to, the God who spoke this into being, the God who exists both in sky and in space, and also in this very room in our hearts. So I know for me, I do this thing called singing songs and worshiping. I do it for a living. It's super easy for me to treat this thing casually. But the reality is, we are the son of the King. We are the sons and daughters of the King Most High. And the God that we created can make things like the pillars of creation. So I want to sing this song again as we sort of learn it and kind of add it to our vocabulary, saying, God, we don't have words for how amazing You are. We don't have words for how much You love us, and we don't have words for how big You are. But that won't keep us from trying to sing out Your praises. So I'd love it if you guys would sing this with us.
With hearts amazed. Again with me.
Though we cannot comprehend.
Though we cannot comprehend such a mystery, just a glimpse of you revealed is compelling us to sing. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy is your name.
Worship the King. Worship the King. All glorious above. Gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Let's sing that again and worship the King. Worship the King. All glorious above, all gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. You alone! 'Cause You alone are the matchless King. You alone beyond majesty, Your glory and wonders what sun can recite. You breathe in the air, You shine in the light. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace. His robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep
thunder clouds form. Dark is his path on the wings of the storm.
You alone.
Yeah, cause you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. You alone. Yeah, cause you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in a light. Measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. You alone, yeah, cause you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. You alone, yeah, cause you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, shine in a light. You breathe in the air, shine in a light. You breathe in the air, you shine in a light.
Just the voices, you alone.
Cause you alone are the matchless king. You alone be all majesty. Your glories, wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light.
God, we just take this time to say that you are bigger than any box that we could put you in. God, that you love us more deeply than we can wrap our heads around. God, and that you are bigger than we have words to describe. God, help us to hear from you today. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing with us. Hey, do me a favor. We'll do a little bit more of that later. But we'd love it for you guys to take just a minute. Introduce yourself to a couple people that you don't know yet. Say hello, get to know their names, and then grab a seat.
My gosh, every time I think it can't be done, Andy and the band takes us to a place I just can't even imagine. Well done. Well done. I know it's God, but they are giving up their talent, and man, is it beautiful or what? It is. What a way to jump into a fantastic evening. And what we have planned tonight, we've been talking for about 3 months in a row how important it is to receive. And I know that all of you guys are just doing all your experiments, going into your exchange groups, and being totally wired in and ready for our next episode. Last time, we said that we were going to try to include more of basically the workshop-type stuff inside the evening services. So we're going to be doing that today, and we're importantly shifting from just knowing that we need to receive to practicing. How do we receive? And we've been talking about how important it is to take that and process it with our friends so that we have some kind of a ability to digest what it is God's giving to us and then apply it in our lives. So before we get too far down the track, I have a little slide here from a Will Smith movie, I think it is. I can't remember what I picked out. Yeah, there you go. From some kind of cop movie, I can't remember. Anyway, this was just to say that last time we picked the person that we were going to be processing each of the different exercises with. And that is critical to tonight. So before you get going, I just want to invite everybody right now to find one person and buddy up. All right, so find one person, say, hey, how's it going? I'd like to spend some of the time processing with you. Does it sound good and not too weird? And if you've got a place where there's three, that's okay, but four, no, split into twos, all right? Go ahead and do it. Introduce yourself. All right, everybody kind of paired up. I see some people moving. Nicely done. Thank you for the seriousness to which you're doing this. And we're going to start off by asking two questions real quickly, and then I want you to answer these to your buddy. So here are the two questions. Ready? How long have you been following Jesus, and why are you here? Now, there's a chance that you may not yet be following Jesus. You may just be trying to find him. So whatever it is, I just want you to take this time to tell the person you're going to talk to, hey, I've been following God this long, or I'm following, or I'm pursuing, or I'm trying to find him. Whatever it is, go ahead and tell your story, and then why are you here? But let's do that quickly. In a couple minutes, I'll give you a chance for each of you to have a minute plus. All right, go for it right now. All right, seems like most of the chatter is kind of tapering. Go ahead and finish up. I'll give you a few more seconds. All right, tremendous. These are the folks that we're going to be processing the evening with. And I just want to catch everybody up in the event that you haven't been here the last couple of months. We've been talking about how essential it is to be able to hear God's voice. And specifically, I know that, you know, I had this fantastic experience just last night. My wife and I were sitting down. We had a really, really crazy week and a half, and we just kind of chilled out. We're sitting on the couches, and then all of a sudden, she got a call from my daughter, who is up at Ohio State for the first time, so she's a freshman there. And I couldn't even tell what was happening, but I got a chance to just hear the sound of my daughter's voice. And something just instantly started, you know, melting my heart, doing whatever it was. I just started saying, oh, I love this girl so much. What a gift she is. I am so excited that you have given her to Lori and I. God, thank you for Bethany. Just hearing her voice made me inspired. And I can't remember what it was, but I was asking Lori something, and she goes, oh, is Dad talking about that? She had recognized my voice, and she was hearing things. Even though we weren't talking to each other on the conversation, there was some unbelievable thing that happened just tonally to hear the tone of her voice. And I think that's how it is with God. And we talked about how God is uniquely the shepherd, and we are his sheep. Now, we talked about a verse, and I want to go through that again, just as kind of a refresher, but also to pull out a couple of the key words here. It says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way, I know my sheep, and they know me. Now, the key thing here is, and I'm willing to die for them. There's some unbelievable ownership that Jesus says, man, God the Father and I have an intimacy level where it is just spectacular. And here we are in the Daddy Issues series, and we're talking about how essential it is to get cued into Dad and what his business is. And Jesus saying, I'm about my dad's business, and I know his voice, and everything he prompts me. When I came here on earth, I listened to him about what the right things to go pursue were. And I hone that voice. And just like my daughter and I, hearing the tone of her voice, I get clicked into what's going on with her. And that happens between the Father and the Son. And Jesus says, not only that, but I'm that way for you. I am your shepherd. I know your voice. He knows my secrets, whether I want him to or not. He knows my favorite flavors of Doritos, Cheetos, Tostitos, and all the other toes. He knows everything about me. He knows all of my preferences. He knows the things that I'm afraid of. He knows the hurts that I have. He knows everything. And that voice that he's waiting to hear is mine. What an honor and a privilege that is. And the cool thing is in the back half of that verse, he says, not only that, but go for it. Oh, go back one if you don't mind, Andy. I'm sorry. They know me. They know me. So, folks, I want to confess to you that I don't spend enough time, because I love him this much. And when we're singing those two songs, I got to tell you, Andy's bringing me into a place that I know that I was sitting with my dad. I know that I'm sitting with him. I said, God, I need more of this time. Why don't I put more of my time into that experience with you where I get a chance to admire and to understand, to drink in the amazing things that you are. I love how he showed us this galaxy far, far away. I say, that's what my dad's about. He's creating things we can't even barely see just because he can, because he makes order out of chaos. It's an amazing thing. Well, I got to tell you, I'm confessing to you all that I don't often enough go after him, try to hear his voice. I don't spend enough time pursuing him, knowing him the way I can. I take a sometimes lackadaisical, lack of interest, lazy, selfish approach to my relationship with my dad. And that's crazy, because I know every time that I spend time with him, I start changing and I start getting more and more fulfilled. And I sit there and go, wait a minute, why don't I do things differently? Why aren't I rearranging my life to spend more time knowing his voice, to find out what his favorite ice cream flavors are? I think it's got to be something in the coffee family, I'm just saying. Whatever it is, there's something amazing about God that I don't yet know, I haven't yet tapped into, and I want that, but I haven't necessarily aligned myself. So what I want to do is have you also talk about something that you may want to confess, you may want to actually admit, first to yourself, then to the person that you just buddied up with, and tell them where it is in your life that you may or may not be pursuing him enough, where you may or may not have heard his voice. I think I have it on a question, Andy, if you would. Where in your life is it hard for you to admit that you can do nothing without him? It's an amazing, amazing invitation, because I know that I have a tendency to believe I still think I can do stuff. I still control stuff. And I'm not yet ready for it. So go ahead and talk to your partner, your buddy, and then tell them what area of your life do you not really pursue him on. So I'll give you a couple of minutes for that. right, try pulling it together, maybe another 15, 20 seconds. All right, so we first talk about how we need to hear his voice and we need to pursue him with boldness. We need to reallocate our times so that we're actually cueing in, because there's areas of our life that we've shown a lack of interest, a lack of connection with him. The second analogy that we used last month that we'll explore a little bit more right now is this analogy of wine and how a grape becomes a grape. We talked about how it takes years to produce fruit, 4 years, 15 pounds, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it's to that effect. That's an amazing waiting period. And it talks about the reliance that we have on the vine. The vine is pumping nutrients out to the branch, and the branch can do nothing by itself. It has to wait, and it has to absorb, and it has to receive. And so we talked about how important it was to receive, and we have this verse in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. A branch can't bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. This takes what our last exercise was about, and it draws it even more dramatically. It says that we can't do anything without him. So not only do I show a lack of interest in what God might have for me, but in addition to that, he's saying, but you don't understand, I only have the best for you. I have everything you need. If you just wait and receive, I could nourish you. And I say, no, I got this one. I don't know if you guys have any areas in your life where you think, no, I'm pretty good in this certain thing. Okay, I do. I definitely do. The two areas that I think I'm pretty good in are coaching and business development. It's what I did my whole life, my whole career. And I believe that I can actually take some pretty good ideas and turn them into an execution. All right, God's used me in this way over and over again. And the problem is, I think that sometimes, even if I'm detached, I still have some pretty decent skill in this area. And so the real problem is, all along, God's the one who's given this to me. So I'm literally forgetting the source of this, operating independently, and thinking that I can figure it out. So when we're in a management team meeting or something down at Oakley and doing some church planning stuff, I love kicking in, and I think I got a unique. And I'm kind of forgetting what the source and how I actually even received that gifting. So I don't know if you're like me or not, but I want to confess that. I want to repent. I want to change direction from when I operate on my own doing. I want to say, no, God, I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't know that I'll ever be able to rid myself 100% of my own desires and selfishness to do things out of my strengths. But I want to take those and park them totally, because it says when we're weak, then he can be strong. I know that I produce even more fruit when I yield and when I depend on him. So this next exercise that I want us all to go through is identifying those areas, and I pulled the question a little bit too early, the nothing part. I can do nothing. Andy, if you would, just throw it up there. The next question, the exercise. Yeah, there you go. Where in your life is it hard to admit that you can do nothing without Jesus? Well, I want to confess to you guys. For me, it's the area of developing. Business planning, business developing, all that stuff. I think that I'm pretty good at that, and I need to absolutely repent. I need to change the way that I'm thinking and say, God, I want you to do that. You've given it to me in the first place, and I want to take that and surrender it to you before I go off running on some kind of a plan that I have. Or I think that I'm uniquely good at hearing my kids' issues and then taking those and repackaging them and trying to help them with some kind of advice that they may or may not be ready to hear and process and receive. Whatever it is that you might have in your life that you kind of feel pretty good about and you think, hey, I got this one, I want you to go through the exercise of first identifying it and then asking God, God, I want to change my way on this. I don't want to just rest on my laurels. It's not even my gifting. And I want you to then, after you do that, go ahead and share that with your buddy. And when you do that, I'd like you to pray for the other person. Go ahead and take a chance. It might be a little uncomfortable, but just say, God, I ask you to bless this person in the area that they're confessing, that they're trying to do things on their own. Go ahead and pray for each other. If you haven't switched, let the other person pray and we'll pull it together in about 20 seconds. All right, let's pull it back. So we've looked at the importance of hearing his voice. We looked at the importance of being dependent upon him and of receiving from him. And now I want to look at a tricky word that's actually easier said than it is done, and that's the word abide. It's kind of a churchy word. We include it in some of our songs, and it's an unusual word. You don't usually use it every day in your vocabulary. I want to abide. And it says that if we abide in him, he'll abide in us. It's inviting God to be this filter that we have to run everything through, whether it's our emotions, whether it's our thoughts, whether it's the way that we hold back our tongues or not, whether it is anything that could, you know, jeopardize what it is we're thinking, feeling, and run it through and say, God, is this what you want? Am I abiding in you? Am I using you as my filter about how I live my life? Am I truly surrendering every thought? I know that I can't bear fruit alone, and unless I run these things through your filter, I don't know how to make those decisions. Well, I want to talk about one of the best ways to do that. Now, we've been talking about the importance of receiving, the importance of hearing his voice, but we haven't necessarily said how do we hear his voice or how do we depend on and receive from him. And most importantly, perhaps, how do we abide in him? How do we get this unbelievable harmony in other times where we're not receiving or giving through worship? And so I want to take the time to do just a quick highlight of three different ways. And the first is through friends, other believers, people who know him. They have, if they're pursuing God, the opportunity to give us wisdom from our dad as siblings that can help us make decisions. Similarly, during our prayer time, we can actually quiet ourselves and listen and hope that he's speaking to us and capture that and respond. There's another way that's even more basic and more simple and more laid out for us, and that's the word that has been preserved for us for thousands of years. Now, many of us have a Bible somewhere in our house. Many of us have Bibles that we're using. Many of us have training that says we're going to do a quiet time. It's a term that I heard when I had just made a decision to follow God, and I said, man, I really want to know more. Well, take this Bible and have a quiet time. It's a bizarre challenge. I'm like, a quiet time. Okay, that means I'm not talking. I get that. But what do I do? And what do I start? So he said, just start. Start with one of the Gospels. So I started in Mark, started reading. I read the rest of the New Testament. Then I went into the Old Testament, started having some trouble with that. Then I started going back to the New Testament. I started bouncing all over the place. And I was really learning the content from more of a historical or story perspective. I was learning about God. But I wasn't necessarily drinking that in. So what I'd like to do tonight is to model what I do to just learn and hear and abide by reading the Bible. So this is going to be semi-uncomfortable for me, just because I'm going to talk out loud what happens when I'm reading the Bible and what kind of things I'm processing and what I might or might not get from it and how I might hear it and then what I might do. So I'm going to do that, and then you guys are going to have the chance to do that. So I hope you have your phones. I know everybody does. And if you don't have a Bible app on your boat, on your phone, you're going to probably need it. You don't have to do that for about 10, 12 minutes. Don't start downloading an app. But I'm going to do this so that you can kind of watch me. You can kind of say, yeah, I like that. I can do that. And I'm going to try it too. All right. So I had this little comfy chair from one of the offices come out so that I can sit down, because I would never do a time with God reading standing up. So I'm going to go ahead and sit down and tell you where I've been reading lately. I'm going to set up kind of the part that I'm going to do very authentically, because I haven't read it yet, but I have been studying in the book of Samuel. And Samuel's an Old Testament book, and it talks about a great prophet, and it also talks about, importantly, David. David was the one who was following after God's heart, it says, the one who wrote a lot of the Psalms, the first king who really led in a different way, who brought Israel to greatness. And David is just an interesting character. And I started stumbling upon something in 2 Samuel, the second book, the 23rd chapter. I'm just going to read a couple of the excerpts, and then I'll set up what I'm going to do with you. So as I did this, there's a section called David's Mighty Men. And when I hit 45, I had to get reading glasses, so bear with me while I'm doing this. So 2 Samuel 23, and I'm just going to read a few of the examples. It talks about David's mighty men. Now, the first thing my mind tricked out on was, why David's mighty men? Why not God's mighty men? And so I just started asking God, what was it about these men that made them an honor to David? And why did they get called out? Why was there even the packaging of having David's mighty men? So I started reading, and it said, one of them was the chief of the three. There were three mighty men that got called out separately. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was another. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines when they gathered for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and it froze to the sword. Next to him was another. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But this guy stood in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck down all of the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a turnaround, a great victory. And so on. And he started listing mighty men after mighty men. And then it started introducing other mighty men in addition to the three and the one who led them. And I started saying, God, what is it about these mighty men? Why were they called out? And why is it important for me to read this right now? Is there something going on? And I just said, God, are you calling me to be a mighty man? I'm one of the mighty men. What does that look like? How do I pursue that? Do I have to do some things? And so I kept reading. And then I saw that there was another reference that said about the mighty men, also in 1 Chronicles. So I looked over in 1 Chronicles, and it talked about the same mighty men. And then it started introducing... Then there were chiefs of David's mighty men. Together they with all Israel gave his kingship strong support, and they extended it beyond the land. And instantly I thought, huh, what does that mean? Maybe it has something to do with multi-site. God, are we mighty men in the Crossroads Mason campus? Because we continue to advance your territory. We continue to be able to invite more and more friends to come and hear about their father. Is that part of what's required to be a mighty man? And then it said, so on and so forth, started giving the accolades, killed 300 men here, three of them, another became a commander. He struck down Moab's best men. He struck down a guy, an Egyptian, who was 7.5 feet tall, and so on. I said, what does it mean to be trained to be a mighty man? And so my quiet time now that I'm going to bring you into, or my study time, my opportunity to abide in God and try to hear from him, is for me now to go to the next place. So I was doing a very logical, they call it exegetical, where you're studying verse by verse. I'm reading these chapters chronologically, and I'm looking at cross-references, and that's one way to go through the Bible. Another way is to do topical searches, and because of the internet, it's become extremely easy to do so. So I said, I want to be trained. And so I started looking up training to be a mighty man. And I printed out 5 verses that just came up, and I'm going to go through those with you and process those with you so you know how I do this particular abiding. And it's going to be, again, maybe it's a little bit awkward. You guys didn't sign up for this, but here I am just showing you. God is trying to teach us, I believe, how he wants us to walk. And this word is the guide that we get from him. It's been preserved and preserved. We're not going to go through the accuracy and the historicity of the Bible tonight, but the ability for this book to stand the test of time and to be arguably the most tested piece of fiction or fact has been incredible. And over again, it's validated as fact. You're finding out things even thousands of years after people disputed things about David's kingdom that are historically, and now as they look up all the different kinds of remains, we're finding different parts of his kingdom. I mean, just amazing validity. So this book is our guide, and I want to invite you into what it can do for us. So this is a little off script. I haven't done this yet, but I printed out 5 verses on training, and I just want to go through them. I did stick a little tab in there so you didn't have to have me page through my Bible. So the first one was, and these are not in chronological order, the first one was about Daniel. And let's see if I have my Daniel tab made up. And the entire section is called Daniel's Training in Babylon. So I know this story, so I've read Daniel many times, and I'm going to look at it from fresh eyes. I'm just going to jump in after it kind of sets the context. Then the king ordered the chief of his official courts to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand. No, I'm just kidding. Quick to understand and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food to eat and wine to drink from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So I'm just going to stop there for a minute and say, to enter into the king's service, one of the things I do is I try to have, whenever I'm doing a reading like this, kind of a pattern that I follow. So I put 5 steps up that I try to go through, and the first one is to go slow, or slowly, I guess I should put an adverb there. I want to go slowly because I, one, have a reading disability, and I need to in order to understand it and digest it well. Number two, I want to go slow so I don't miss stuff. And I want to actually give God the time and the ability to speak into me while I'm processing his word. Secondly, I want to actually process it some so that I can say, okay, what is he really saying here? What's the content about? And I want to note the important ideas. So I usually have something to write in. I call it a journal, and you've heard about journaling. It sounds a little bit, formal, and it sounds a little bit like work to do. But I find that if I don't have a journal, I don't have the opportunity to capture things that I think God is telling me and God's trying to reveal to me. So when I read this passage, I then want to say, what is this saying about you, God, and what's it saying about me, Mark? How do I take that and interpret it, and then what do I want to do about it, and I pray on it. So this first verse about training is about what Daniel went through to be in the unique position of advisor to the king. And it talks about his original training. I'm not going to go through all of Daniel, but the training is pretty extensive. He had an incredible training where he learned worldly skills, and he also was learning all about how the king wanted to have different kinds of things. He had to learn the language. He had to learn the skills. What is it, God, that you're telling me about this piece of training? Well, I know that one is that there was some favor on Daniel because this guy had a lot of stuff going for him. He didn't have any physical defect. He was handsome. He showed aptitude, good thinking, and so on. So I want to think about that, and I want to listen to God and what he's saying to me. And right now I feel like he's saying, Mark, you may believe lies about things about yourself that are stopping you from doing the things that I have in front of you. So if you think you're a bad reader, which I do, I want to tell you that that's not the important thing, son. So I want to say, okay, quit lying to myself or believing the lies that may enter. Secondly, I want to hear that he does have a unique investment in me, that he's uniquely prepared me for different kinds of things. I know there's another verse that says that he's created works for me to recognize and to walk into in Ephesians chapter 2. It's an opportunity for me to recognize what it is God wants me. He's given me favor, and he's given me different kinds of responsibilities. He's also taught me a lot of different things. He gave me the ability to go to school and do well. He gave me the ability to go to college. How are those skills uniquely going to be happen to affect my job today? What are the kind of things that I'm doing for the king in a way that I could do them using more and more of the skills and the training that I have? So I'm going to take an inventory. Not right now, but I'll take an inventory about what gifting and skills that I might have that I may not yet be working on. Or I may not be using fully, and how I can apply those. I'll jump over to another verse about training. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And I'll just do a couple more of these so you don't have to go through all of it, but I'm going to go through all the different training verses that I started looking at and finding early on. And this is Paul, who was an incredibly influential guy. For those of you who don't know, you can do a study on Paul, and you can look up different kinds of things. Paul had different people that he invested in a big way. One of them was Timothy. His job was planting churches all over, and he was looking for leaders and men that he could invest and train. And Timothy was one of those. So he's writing this letter, and he says in chapter 4, verse 6, "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some, value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Wow, there's so much in that verse that I'm impacted by. First off, when he says, if you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Obviously, that points me back to, well, what were the things that he was saying a good minister of Christ Jesus would be? So I'm going to have to look backward and read up on that chapter. I won't do that right now. Secondly, he talks to Timothy about being brought up in the truth of the faith and the good teachings that you have followed. So there's an importance that I feel God's telling me, Mark, you know a lot, but you need to pay attention to if you're walking them out. So even today I was getting upset about the heating and air conditioning in our building because we've spent lots of money and we continue to have a problem trying to get the temperature regulated. And the way that I communicated with my team was not really the way that I was brought up. It wasn't a good teaching applied. It was a good teaching heard but not acting upon. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to confess to a couple of folks that I was pretty crabby about. I also got frustrated about another area of our building that we're struggling with. Then it starts talking more about the other areas of godliness. So I'm going to do an inventory of that. I'll do that tomorrow or the next day. And then for physical training, immediately I start thinking, well, I gained back 20 of the pounds that I lost, so it's frustrating to have that staring at my face. But godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So there's something about the payout, the profit of following God, where this isn't some kind of a rule book that I think God's trying to beat me with, but it's rather an invitation to be more profitable. And so those are the thoughts that start jumping out that I think God is directly talking to me about. I just did two of the first six that I printed out that talk about being trained in the Lord. There is volumes that I can learn about being trained. So I wanted to mirror that for you, or demonstrate that for you, so that you could see it and say, okay, so am I spending time like that when I'm reading the Bible? Do I have the Bible, maybe a place that I'm going to continue to write notes in, that I go back to, that I start learning and applying, and am I including anybody else in the accountability? So I hate that word, accountability. It sounds like check up, but rather it means attention to me. I want somebody in my life, or more than one person in my life, to help me with attention on the things that I'm getting from God when I read His Word. So again, we're talking about receiving from God and hearing His voice, and now we're talking about what does that look like? It means abiding, having a filter where all of my things that happen during the day are run through Him, and then how do I take those and apply them in my life, and how do I invite somebody else to help me by putting attention behind it so I can start operating more effectively? Because God wants me to be just like Jesus. We talked about the maturity that He's challenging us to. That means having the character and operating in the skills that Jesus has. So that's what He's inviting us into. Now it's going to be your turn. I've embarrassed myself enough by just going through looking at what I might do in my time with the Bible. I'm going to ask you guys to do the same, and hopefully you do have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone or something like that. And if not, maybe you can share and go through with the person that you're next to. But I'm going to give you a meaningful amount of time, 5-7 minutes, just to go through wherever you might be reading. And if you haven't read, why don't you pick Galatians? It's one of my favorite books. You can start in the second chapter of Galatians. I'm just winging it out there for you. All right? Go ahead. Can you give me Mike? Andy, if you would you put those five steps that I do up on the board, just in, up on the slide, just so the team can kind of see that? I encourage you again to go slowly, to digest it, note some important ideas, maybe put it in your memo section of your phone. What does it say about God and God's character? What is it saying about me? And then we'll pray about that stuff together in a few minutes. All right, I know I'm cutting you off, but hopefully you're finding how rich it is just to spend time and not rush through trying to hit certain numbers of scripture, verses, or trying to finish something, but just to spend time with our dad, to hear and know his voice, to figure out how we might be able to apply it to our lives to help us gain intimacy with the one who matters, the one who crafted the stuff Andy was showing us earlier. So I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for myself and what I was hearing from God. And then we'll start our communion and more worship. God, the chance to hear from you is so powerful. I repent. I'm sorry for not spending enough time with you. God, I know that the words in a book can't possibly represent your heart and your ability to speak to me, but somehow it does. And somehow you always communicate so much more than whatever word I might be looking at. And for my friends, God, I just ask that tonight might be just wetting their whistles or helping them get more and more convicted about how powerful it can be when we give you time to talk to us. God, we want to know your voice, and we need your nourishment. We want to be like your son. And God, we know this opportunity to just read words that were captured thousands of years ago are alive and somehow change us. So God, bear fruit. We want to abide. We want you to be the filter that we run our lives with. So God, come now and multiply the impact of even the short time that we've had together tonight. Let us thirst for your word coming alive in our hearts. And let us invite our friends to give us attention in the areas that we need so that we can be more like your son. So God, we now come together and say, so be it, God. Have your way with me. We surrender. We want you more in our lives. In your precious name, amen. And so we're going to take a little turn here into another way to receive, and that's to receive communion. To receive the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. It's an unbelievable time to say, God, I want to reflect on how you so much cared for me that you snuck into the world, into a battleground so dangerous because you wanted to rescue and redeem me. And he said before he gave his life for us and he changed all the rules, he said, I want you to remember this every time you get together, every time you eat. So when you break bread and when you drink wine, think of me and remember my love for you because I want you to live fully, abundantly. So we're going to remember that. We're going to give communion. We're going to break off a piece of bread and say, this represents the body of Christ, which was broken for us. And then we'll hand that to you and we'll let you dip. We're dippers, not sippers. Take that bread, dip it in. And we'll say, this is the blood of Christ which was shed for you. And then you can either take it there or go back to your seat and take it and remember him and his love. Receive. So communion, folks, would you come forward? And when you're ready, please come forward. The communion table's open. Andy's going to lead us as we continue to receive from him.
Just a glimpse of you revealed is coming.
Won't you guys stand up and let's sing this song together. Sing, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
I've heard a thousand stories. perfect in the prayers that aren't answered. You are perfect in the things and promises that we are still waiting for. We declare that you are perfect. Even when your ways are not our ways, we declare you're perfect. Sing that with me one more time. You're perfect in all your ways.